Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj, beginning with text 38. Just the translation. One might argue that since you have already promised, how can you refuse, O best of the demons? Just take from me the evidence of the Vrichcha Shruti, which says that a promise is truthful, preceded by the word Om, and untruthful if not. Okay. How many of your promises have been preceded by Om? Text 39. Satyam Pushpa Palam Vidyad Atma Vrikshasya Giyate Rikshe Jivati Tanyasyad Anritam Mulam Atmanaha. Satyam, the factual truth. Pushpa Palam, the flower and the fruit. Vidyat, one should understand. Atma Vrikshasya, of the tree of the body. Giyate, as described in the Vedas. Rikshe Ajivati, if the tree is not living. Tat, that. Pushpa Palam. Na, not. Syat, is possible. Anritam, untruth. Mulam, the root. Atmanaha, of the body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, there is no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. Purport. This shloka explains that in relation to the material body, even the factual truth cannot exist without a touch of untruth. So the absolute truth, factual truth cannot exist without a touch of untruth. The Mayavadis say, Brahma Satyam Jaga and Mitya. The spirit soul is truth, and the external energy is untruth. The Vaishnava philosophers, however, do not agree with the Mayavada philosophy. Even if, for the sake of argument, the material world is accepted as untruth, the living entity entangled in the illusory energy cannot come out of it without the help of the body. Without the help of the body, one cannot follow a system of religion, nor can one speculate on philosophical perfection. Therefore, the flower and fruit, pushpa palam, have to be obtained as a result of the body. Without the help of the body, the fruit cannot be gained. The Vaishnava philosophy therefore recommends yukta vairagya. It is not that all attention should be diverted for the maintenance of the body, but at the same time one's bodily maintenance should not be neglected. As long as the body exists, one can thoroughly study the Vedic instructions, and thus at the end of life one can achieve perfection. It is explained in Bhagavad Gita 8:6. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavan bhavam tyajat yantakalevaram. Everything is examined at the time of death. Therefore, although the body is temporary, not eternal, one should take from it the best service and make one's life perfect. body is said to be untruth because it's temporary. And therefore, although we're trying to and find some permanent place in the material world, security, but how is it possible to be secure if we're in something which is temporary? One may have King Ugrasena, he had so many quadrillion bodyguards, but he also had to leave his body. They couldn't protect him. Although they may serve some purpose temporarily. In other words, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, naiva kinchit karomiti yuktam manyate tatvavit pashan srinvan sprishan jigran achnanga chan swapan swasan pralapam vishrijan grinan umishan imishan api indriyarandiyarteshu vartanta itidharyan. Naiva kinchit karomiti. That person who's actually situated in knowledge and self-realization, he knows not eva, at no time. Naiva kinchit. Naiva kinchit means at any time. Not at any time. There's no time. Naiva karomiti. Are we doing anything? We're not doing anything at any time. Does that mean we're doing nothing? No. Obviously we're doing something. So what are we doing? Well, what we're doing is desiring. And what are we desiring on the basis of? Naiva kinchit yukta manyate tatvavit. A person who's actually in knowledge, who's connected with the Supreme, his consciousness is connected with the Supreme, yukta manyate karhichit. When he's actually aware of Krishna and Krishna consciousness, then he knows, naiva kinchit kromiti yuktam manyate tat pashan. While he's seeing, just like we're all seeing, pashan srinvan, and we're hearing, sprishan, we're touching something, jigran, and we're smelling, ashnan, we're eating, gachan, we're going, and we're breathing and sleeping, swasan, Shwasan Swapan. We know that although we're doing these things, that actually we're not doing anything at all. Because while speaking, Pralapan Vishrijan, opening and closing the eyes, while vacuuming and receiving, one knows that only the material senses are engaged in their objects and that one is aloof from them. In other words, we're the consciousness within the body. So what part of the body is conscious? We're conscious of the body. The body is not conscious of us. So therefore the body is different from us. And the body may be doing so many things, but how many of us feel like we're moving when we're moving our arm? Does the consciousness move somewhere else when we move our hands? When we're speaking, do we go somewhere else? No, we're always in the same position. Where we are, we don't really know. We're just here somewhere. But on the basis of this body, our situation, time, place, and audience, or circumstance, we're doing so many different things. Like right now, we're not practicing swimming. Is that right? Anyone here practicing you're practicing swimming right now? Right now. Right here in the temple room. No, because it's not appropriate to do it here. Now, if you're in a swimming pool, it might be appropriate to have a Bhagavatam class. But most of the other people in the swimming pool probably would wonder what you're doing. You're probably blocking their way. So there's a time, place for everything. And therefore, if we want self-realization, going to the swimming pool is I know different types of swimming, but I don't know self-realization swimming. Generally, you go for swimming to exercise the body, not for self-realization. Although some people may claim, they claim everything is for self-realization. Even smoking intoxicants, they say, is for self-realization. But there's a process of using this body for self-realization, just like we're engaged in it now. If you go to any university, anywhere in the world, they're not going to tell you you're not your body. It's the last thing they want to tell you. As a matter of fact, usually the two majors everyone majors, the two principal majors everyone majors in university nowadays are two, chemistry and biology. Chemistry means what the effects of different drugs are on one's consciousness. And biology is running after the opposite sex, or the same sex, or whatever. Whatever. That's biology. So, but if we go to a university, they're not going to explain to us the difference that our body, naiva kinchit kuromiti yuktamanite tatvavit, that our body is different from ourselves, and that our desires will actually determine our future. How many people are worried? They think, yes, my desire will determine my future. If I desire to make money, and they promise me if I go through this 4-year or 6-year course, I'm going to make money. But it doesn't work that way. Nowadays, people get an education for 4 years. Instead of making money, they owe for the rest of their lives. They owe a bunch of money for all their loans they've taken out. So they were promised that by this desire, working hard, you're going to make a whole lot of money. You're going to have a nice family, a big house, so many nice cars. You'll retire in the best place in the world, and everything will be all right. They promised like that, and people desire they're working in order to achieve that, but it doesn't happen. Not the way they thought it was going to be. Now, in Krishna consciousness, we're not promising health, wealth, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. We're not promising any of that. What we're being promised is liberation from the material concept of life and realization of our eternal self. That's all that's being promised, and the Supreme Self, the Eternal Supreme Self. And that's what this body can bring us if we engage it in Krishna's service. Taking prasadam, chanting Hare Krishna, doing some service to Krishna with this body. Then when Krishna is pleased, then he reveals himself, and we become Krishna conscious. That's all that's really promised. So we can use this body in so many different ways. As a matter of fact, if you look around the world, people are utilizing their body in so many ways, and they're usually divided into three different categories. The mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, and the mode of goodness. And there's an alternative, which is different from all the other ones, that is transcendental activities. Now, even while we're performing transcendental activities, we may be dreaming about material activities, thinking about material activities. I'm doing this activity, but actually I'm worried about the future, and I'm lamenting about the past. Oh, if only I would have done things like this, and I would be here now, I'd be completely different. And in the future, if I do something, what will I achieve? What will I get? From the material point of view. So we can lament about the past, lament about all the nonsense we've done in the past outside of Krishna consciousness, and think about how we can actually become Krishna conscious and achieve something actually glorious, actually valuable with our existence, rather than trying to follow the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to the living entity that follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This due is identification with the material nature, and thus he meets with both good and evil amongst the various species. Anyone know that verse? Okay. It's Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunto prakriti jangunan karna guna sangosya sad asad yoni janmasu. So we're following the modes of nature. They're taking us by the nose and directing us here, directing us there, directing us everywhere. And sometimes it's sad. It's something that will give us a closer to eternity, and sometimes it's asad, something that's taking us deeper into material consciousness, far away from our realization of who we actually are. So we have that choice. The modes are being offered to us. If you don't like this class, you can go on the internet. This internet is the world of things. You can discover everything, from the deepest, darkest ignorance to something about saving the seals or something. Save the whales. So there's so many opportunities in this material world to get what we're looking for, if that's what we're looking for. So here Shukadacharya is saying that, well, I don't exactly know what he's saying. I know what Prabhupada was saying. The body's temporary. So he's saying that actually you have to protect your body, because there's so many good things you can get with your body. It's like Vrikasura. He was running after Lord Shiva to touch his head and kill him. Cut it. And Lord Shiva took shelter in Swetadweep, where Lord Vishnu resides, who then appeared as a young brahmachari with a matted hair and a deer skin, because that's what brahmacharis used to wear. I don't think they wear that nowadays. It'd be interesting. Of course, I don't know where you get the deer skin from. It'd probably be pretty warm. A deer skin, and he had matted hair, and Rudraksha beads, and a danda. And Lord Shiva ran by Vishnu, and Vrikasura ran by Vishnu, and Vishnu said, "Oh, son of Shakuni," Shakuni was Vrikasura's father, "why are you running so fast? Tell me, perhaps I can help you. Because after all, you have to consider that your body is perishable. And if you run so much, you're going to wear it out. And if you wear out your body, you won't be able to fulfill all your desires. So maybe you should slow down and think about this." So Vrikasura said, "Wow, that's good health advice. I never thought like that." So he stopped and said, "Yes, you know my father, yes? Yeah, Rishikuni, yeah, we're close, you know, we're like that." "So what's happening? Why are you running so fast? Why are you wearing a body out, you know?" He said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I did all these austerities and Lord Shiva gave me a benediction. And I asked for a benediction that whosoever head I touched would just crack into thousands of pieces. So I wanted to experiment with Lord Shiva's head. And I tried to touch it so I could steal his wife, Gauri. But he ran away. So I've been chasing him all around the universe trying to catch up. I'm getting a little out of breath, but, you know. Anyhow, thanks for the good advice." And Lord Vishnu said, "What? What are you talking about? You know, haven't you heard the news? Lord Shiva got in a fight with his father-in-law, Daksha, and he was cursed by Daksha. And ever since then, he's been going around the universe, being haunted by ghosts and hobgoblins, and been handing out false benedictions. So what I think you should do is if you could find that rascal Lord Shiva, you should, well, first of all, I think you should touch your own head and see if the benediction worked. And if it doesn't work, you should find Lord Shiva and kill that rascal for handing out false benedictions." So under the influence of Lord Krishna, Lord superior energy, he bewildered Vrikasura, and he touched his head, and it cracked into thousands of pieces, and he died. So everyone has so many different desires, and everyone's going to try out something different in order to try to achieve their purposes. And actually, I just forgot the point I was making. What's that? Yeah, Lord Vishnu told Vrikashura, you have to maintain your body. Shukuni is his father. So even the demons, they understand, even Lord Vishnu is telling us we have to take care of the body. Otherwise we can't fulfill our desires. But if our desire is not to go back to the spiritual world, then we'll have so many desires that we're going to have to take care of, that we have to get the results of. So therefore, we have to understand things properly. It is not that whatever we think, whatever we do, it doesn't have its consequences. Whatever we do, whatever we think, we will have its consequences. We'll create another body, which will create more desires, unless we utilize this body in Krishna's service, and that will create more desires for Krishna's service. That will create desires that will fulfill the desires of ourselves, the soul within the body. Now here it says that we should also take care of the body. It's not that we're going to neglect the body, because the body is useful for our going back to the spiritual world. As Prahlad Maharaj said, that while the body is strong and fit, that one should utilize it for Krishna's service. Because when it starts dwindling and becomes difficult, then we have to spend all our time just trying to keep the thing together. And then after a time, it doesn't work anymore. Doesn't matter how much you crank the engine, it doesn't start up. So while one has a body which is fit and be able to perform devotional service, one should do it so that one can actually get some benefit. And ultimately, if we perform devotional service as it becomes internalized, we won't be so much dependent upon externally what kind of activity we're doing. We can always remember Krishna in any circumstance. As one great devotee said, I don't need all these rituals, I don't need all this worship, I don't need so many different things, because now wherever I sit, I can remember the Supreme Lord, and therefore I'm quite satisfied with that. So that we have to come to before the body crumbles and we can't get anything else out of the body. And instead we just sit there lamenting, oh, when I was young, I could do this, I could do that. Now I can't do anything. And then, sure enough, we leave this body and we're given another one, one of the 8,400,000 species of life. And if we really wanted to jump, then we'd give him the body of a frog and we can jump all day long. Or even better, if you like to jump, you can get the body of a flea. Frog only jumps one or two times its height, but a flea 10 times, 100 times its flight. And hopefully you can land on a devotee and then get some prasad. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hello, Hare Krishna. Thank you for the very inspiring lecture. My question is, I know a lot of devotees are doing all sorts of physical activities and workouts, including myself. So my question is, what are the principles of limiting the our activities and workouts so we don't get distracted in our Krishna consciousness?
Well, it depends. Everyone's doing physical activities. Even now we're sitting here, it's a physical activity. Even when you're sleeping, you're doing some kind of physical activity. You're breathing, you're doing so many things. But we shouldn't do something that's going to help us forget Krishna. Hopefully something can be utilized in Krishna's service or can help us remember Krishna. That would be beneficial. I mean, just like, it's not necessary unless you have an occupation of mountain climbing. We don't have to climb mountains. Unless you are, and you're climbing the mountain, you're chanting Hare Krishna with other mountain climbers. That would be all right. So we have to add Krishna to it at least. Now certain things are probably going to be difficult to to remember Krishna. Some things are easier, that's all. We should probably choose the easier things, unless we're just like so overwhelmed that we have to climb this mountain, that if I don't climb it, I'm just all I'm going to think about, meditate on the mountain. So when we're climbing it, we should chant Hare Krishna, and we should remember Govardhan Govardhan Hill while we're climbing it, and think that this is Govardhan Hill, and on the top is Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you. I would like to ask something from the previous verse about promise. So if I understand correctly, if you give some kind of promise and then the circumstances changed, is it okay to break it?
Well, if you're a follower of Sukracharya, we're not followers of Sukracharya. Here we're not trying to get followers of Sukracharya. Sukracharya is a demon. He's the head of the demons. So if you want to join his club.
Okay, but also Krishna give a promise in Kurukshetra.
Are you Krishna?
No.
But therefore Krishna told Arjuna, Kandiya Pradijan and he name bhakta pranashati. Declare it that my devotee will never perish. Krishna gives promises, but he'll break them for the protection of his devotee.
Yes.
So we should be careful about which promises we break, whether it's actually for the service of the devotees or not. Mm-hmm. In any case, we're not Krishna.
Yeah, I know.
But still, you know, when we make a promise, Yudhisthira Maharaj was so fixed, he wouldn't go back on his promise. He was always truthful. But he overstepped, because when Krishna asked him to do something, that was time to follow Krishna's direction, because Krishna is the ultimate truth. So we should always find out what Krishna wants. Then, if it's Krishna wants us to do something which is seemingly breaking our promise, that's the truth, because Krishna is the proprietor of everything, and we have to follow Krishna under all circumstances. We can't whimsically decide for ourselves what Krishna wants and what he doesn't want. That has to be decided by Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, and ultimately has to be made clear by the super soul within the heart. So clear that we know exactly that this is what Krishna wants me to do. Then that's truth. But under ordinary circumstances, we can't think that, you know, well, that's good.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Maharaj, I have a question on yesterday's festival.
I had a lot of questions about the festival myself. I'm only kidding. Yes.
Okay, I'll give an opinion. No, I'm joking. I was thinking, who's more merciful? Since Lord Chaitanya is like the most merciful incarnation, who's more merciful, Lord Nityananda or Lord Gauranga? Like when Lord Chaitanya came, he was singing and relishing the devotion to Radharani's devotion to Lord Krishna, but Nityananda was and Shrivas and Narottam were doing the preaching. So I was wondering, how is Nityananda more merciful than Lord Chaitanya, or how?
Well, I think if we can get either one of their mercies, we'll get both of their mercy. Well, actually, that's not the fact, because in the story of Shriniketana Ramdas, who was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj, was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, but he didn't accept the mercy of Lord Nityananda, and therefore he fell down. He insulted Shriniketana Ramdas, a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. So we can't, if we only get one of their mercy and we don't get the other, so we won't get either of their mercy. Their mercy goes together as a team. So, we have to get both their mercy to actually get mercy, not one. Even Advaita Acharya, if one worships Advaita Acharya but he doesn't worship Krishna, then his worship is useless. And if one worships Chaitanya Mahaprabhu but he doesn't worship Advaita Acharya, also his devotional service will be useless. And even go so far as to say in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if one is a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, but he's not a devotee of Lord Krishna, then he should be considered to be a demon. And if he's a devotee of Lord Krishna, but he's not a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he's also considered a demon. So they go together, they come in pairs.
The whole package.
It's okay. Like, if you want to get the golden egg from the goose, you got to accept the whole goose. You can't only accept the half that lays the egg and cut off the other half. You have to feed the goose also. Then you can get the golden egg. Anything else? There's a question from the...
Yes. One is from Bhakti Yoga Tilburg. Oh. So, Hare Krishna Maharaj, question, should we be neutral towards everyone and everything? Example, when others are angry or display other emotions that can trigger us. Should we be neutral?
We should be Krishna conscious, but if, to whatever extent we can. If we can think about Krishna and see things in relation to Krishna, according to Guru Sadhana Shastra, then we can actually be neutral. Because as a servant of Krishna, we can be neutral. That doesn't mean we're inactive. It means we're not have any particular interests ourselves in what how we react to things. But we act as Krishna, react as Krishna desires us to act. And that way we're neutral. Although neutral means that we're actually working for the benefit of Krishna, knowing well that working for the benefit of Krishna will give the best response for the benefit of others also. Anything else?
Yes, one is from Avadhuta Rai. Of Ahankara, why does the soul accept those qualities and experience the suffering of samsara? For example, no one will accept someone else's qualities if they give suffering.
No, we enjoy suffering because it makes us distinct. People go around, especially when they get old, talking about how much they're suffering. I had this operation. Well, I had this operation. You can't believe how much I was suffering. So even in suffering, people are competing with each other. I'm better. I'm suffering more than you are. No, I'm suffering more than you are. Because it puts them, anything that puts ourselves in the center becomes a source of pleasure for us. Because that's the main thing. What's that? Oh my Krishna.
He will write this down in his diary.
Yeah, we've come here to be in the center. Even lamentation is one of the rasas. Even ghastly rasa is one of the rasas. Because, you know, we get some rasa from being the center. People go and they commit all kinds of horrible activities, just get their name in the newspaper so that they become famous. I mean, look at people, I don't know about nowadays with the hippies, I don't know, or the punks, they used to put pearls in their, and through their tongue, you know, eyebrows filled with pins and things like that. All kinds of things just to get some attention. So that's the main thing. If Ahankar is happy, then our life is fulfilled. Anything else? Well, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.